Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The audience, for the most part, is awake because they're bobbing up and down all the time. And we sit there, stone-faced, the sober judges, but we're not, at least I wasn't, 100% sober.
You ever have sober soup? Maybe that's what she meant. When she said I wasn't 100% sober in that grating, gutturally accent of hers, worse than mine by a land mile, she said I wasn't 100% sober. Maybe she means she doesn't like Japanese soup, or noodles rather, noodle soup. Strange, by the way, how the anti-death penalty liberal humanitarians are silent while ISIS executes and beheads people. Where are the anti-death penalty liberals? And by the way, here's another question. Where are the anti-population growth people as Obama floods America with millions of illegal aliens? Anyone think about that? Where are the anti-population growth, ZPG, abortion liars? Where are those liberals who told us that the U.S. was overcrowded? It was not sustainable. That white people should have no children, because the only ones who listened to them, by the way, were white college students. And so the liberal white girls and boys were raised on the mother's milk of not having families and not having babies. They were said, don't marry, don't have children, the earth can't carry them. Meanwhile, our nation is being flooded with millions upon millions of non-Europeans with many children. And strangely, we no longer hear about the overpopulation story from the Obama abortionists and ZPG anti-Euros. You agree with that? Meanwhile, the Iraqi air base is surrounded by Islamofascists in an army around them. They're surrounded. The ISIS raid on the Iraqi base that occurred last night is said now to be a probe to test U.S. troops' response. We have U.S. troops training Iraqis. They're now surrounded. And the goofball president is taking selfies of himself in Silicon Valley. Alfred E. Newman, goofball, taking selfies. They could send an air power right now and wipe ISIS off the map. I fear another Kaysan is about to happen owing to the selfie president. Now look up Kaysan, you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't know how long the Marines will have to hold out until air power comes in to save them, but as sure as I'm sitting here, this could be done before they're attacked, before the base is overrun, before the Islamofascists are able to cut through the perimeter wire and invade the base and start butchering. It could be done now. So why is Obama not granting the order to destroy ISIS before they invade the base in Iraq? Why? I don't know. He's busy in Silicon Valley lecturing the morons who run Silicon Valley into telling them why it's good that the government wants to take control of the Internet and tell them how to run their businesses. Because as you well know, government always runs businesses better than the private sector. There are other stories. I've raised a few issues thus far. Here's one that should entertain you. It's Too Cold to Protest Global Warming at Yale by Michael Bastach of the Daily Caller. Yale anti-fossil fuel campaigners have indefinitely postponed a protest that was set for this weekend due to, quote, unfavorable weather conditions and other logistical issues. Fossil Free Yale, a group pushing the university to divest itself from fossil fuels, told the Yale Daily News that frigid snowy weather set for this weekend will mean their global warming protest will have to be postponed. Listen to what these psychos at Yale said. Quote, the unfavorable weather conditions and other logistical issues, including some cancellations from speakers and performance groups, would mean they would not be able to rally on Global Divestment Day, a day where environmental groups urge institutions like Yale to divest from fossil fuels like coal, natural gas, and oil. You see, the weather in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale is located, stands at minus 9 degrees Fahrenheit with a wind chill factor thrown in. Tomorrow, Saturday, is expected to have weather in the low 30s with snow And Sunday will be 20 degrees with snow and rain. And so the delicate boys and girls in the Fossil Free Yale movement want to stay home and smoke their doobies and I guess watch television or what. I don't know what they do, but they're not going to protest in a snowstorm about global warming, are they? The Yale Daily reports that this organization, quote, had organized a series of events to rally support for its cause, including performances from student groups. Why are they so good at performances? How come they're not good at math or science or chemistry? But the Yale groups, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Berkeley, you know, all of the lower institutions of lower living, they don't excel in anything except performance groups now in protesting and divesting from Israel and fossil fuels. But apparently the guest speakers can't get in the storm, and a collaborative art installation won't be installed in the cold because it'll, I guess, be too cold for the artiste to use his hands in the cold. So that's that. It's too cold to protest global warming at Yale. Meanwhile, the global warming scam marches on. And so while you're calling 855-400-7282, which is the phone number here, to the Savage Nation to discuss these and any other topics on Unprotected Talk, we're going to play something interesting for you, which is my imaginary meeting between Al Gore and Bernie Madoff to come up with the global warming scam. Listen to this. Now we go to the biggest lie of them all. And that is the lie about global warming, which has been debunked by now by all rational scientists, have debunked this concept of global warming. They know it's the greatest lie in science history and also the greatest scam in the history of the world. The greatest. This is like if Madoff worked for Obama. Let's go back. If Madoff had been hired by Al Gore, and Al Gore and him had a little meeting somewhere in a deli, just a bunch of folks in a deli in New York, let's say the Stage Deli. Let's say Madoff sat down, he had a nice corned beef and pickle with Al Gore, who had a pastrami and pickle. And Al Gore said, look, we need to come up with something to market now to get the idiots to kick up a couple of $1 trillion on something. What could you come up with, Madoff? I don't know. What can they do here? Let's see. I'm good on the Ponzi scheme. I don't know. What are you talking here, Al? And they're munching on a pastrami. I don't know. Something to do with climate. Something to do with the weather. What could you do with that, Madoff? I don't know. Weather. Wait a minute. Weather. Let me think about it. So I'll get back to you on that. So he comes back to him a few days. He says, I've got it. I figured it out. I was in a Schwitz last week with some of my sons and my friends, and we figured it out. Tell them that the world's coming to an end unless we rein in industry, that we cut back on, I don't know, one of the essential gases that are, carbon dioxide. I know it from seltzer. We just had some in the deli. I don't know. Make it up. Carbon dioxide is going to destroy the world. All right. It's in a seltzer bottle. You're going to say, Al, that it's the world's coming to an end unless we rein in carbon dioxide. What do you mean the world's coming to an end? That's really good, Madoff. What do you mean? You know, tell them, I don't know, that the ice is going to melt. Tell them everything's going to be flooded. I don't know. Build on it. The way I did with my Ponzi scheme. Let's see. Polar bears. Get a shot of a nice white polar bear on an ice floating around. Use emotion. Emotion. Fear. That's good, Madoff. So that's how they came up with the whole global warming scam. Everyone knows that with an IQ above 92. It's good. I did that for you on the Natch on Wednesday, and I figured I'd replay it today since we learned that it's too cold to protest global warming at Yale. It's wonderful having an imagination, isn't it? And you could look right through the president who has no clothes, has clay feet and has no clothes. Meanwhile, ISIS militants infiltrated the Iraqi base hosting U.S. Marines wearing Iraqi uniforms. The al-Assad base has been infiltrated as a probe, and our troops are now surrounded by ISIS, and the goofball president is raising money in San Francisco. Meanwhile, the lunatic, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who should never have been permitted to approach the Supreme Court, let alone rule it with an iron heel, these many years, because she was the former chief counsel for the ACLU. She should have been disqualified the same way the new attorney general pick should be disqualified because she's Eric Holder in a skirt. Says, I wasn't 100% sober during the speech. She meant sober, but she said soba, as in Japanese soup. The phone number is 855-400-7282. You call the phone. I don't screen them. I don't know who you are. When I call your number, I'm going to speak like Ruth Bader Ginsburg with a heavy New York accent. I'm not going to say number because I haven't lived in New York for a long time. So I'm not going to say, when you call my number, 855-407-2832, when you call my number, give me your name, your station, your topic, okay? I want to sound like Ginsburg. Maybe I'll be invited to the Supreme Court. Okay, line number two. Line number two. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. This is Joe from New York.
Okay, so what are you whispering about? What's on your mind?
Yes, immigrants are the lifeblood of this America. They bring...
And that's your whole brilliant point, and what else is new?
Checkmate. And...
Checkmate? Wait, sir, are you being serious, or is this your attempt at humor?
No, I'm very serious.
Immigrants are the lifeblood of America. You mean immigrants were the lifeblood of America when my grandfather came here and worked his heart out. You don't mean this new wave of bums on welfare, do you, Joe?
Pull the string on immigration. Pull the string on immigration.
Let's dummy. 30% of all of our prisoners are illegal aliens. They're the lifeblood of the prisons, not of America. How come they're in prisons? What are they there for? Because they came here to do good things for America? Or to rape, to murder, to run people over while drunk? Why are one-third of our prisoners illegal aliens? Can you explain that?
Selective enforcement.
Oh, they picked on poor Hispanics. They picked on poor Chinese and poor Russians. The evil white man, the descendants of the Viking, sought out people of color to put them in jail. Is that your allegation?
No. I'm...
All right, take a... I can't talk to you. This is not even funny. I mean, there's a minimal IQ required and a minimal... how can you talk to a guy who's drugged up like this? But there are many people like Joe. They all vote for Obama. And that's why we're in trouble. See, I believe there should be an IQ test in order for you to be able to vote. In order for you to be able to vote, I think you need to have a minimal IQ. Because otherwise, we wind up with a man like Obama in the presidency two times in a row. Because he knows he could pull the wool over people's eyes, and he keeps doing it. Because there's more of the stupid than there are of the intelligent. And there are more of the stoned than there are of the sober. And they're more of, you get it, you can see that's how it works. And that's when democracy dies. It's that simple. If you want me to go further, I believe that anyone on welfare should lose the right to vote while they're on welfare. Why do I say, is that mean? Is that cruel? No. It means that if you're on welfare, of course you're going to vote yourself a raise. Of course you're subject to demagoguery if you're on welfare and a man promises you, or a woman like Hillary promises you all the goodies of society without you having provided them. So I would say that while you're on public assistance in any state, you lose the right to vote. And then after you get yourself back on your feet, because it would be a motivation to do so, you have your right to vote restored. What is wrong with that idea? Answer, nothing. The reason it'll never happen is because we have a one-party system that doesn't want people on welfare to not vote. That's a double negative, but it makes sense if you think about it. It's already 19 minutes after the hour. We've knocked through the opening of the show. I've given you a lot to think about. We already had one dumbbell caller show. What could be better? It is Rock and Roll Friday. I'll be right back with music, news, and reviews right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I can do many voices. I can do a regular broadcaster voice like Brian Williams. No, I can never do him. That was so patently what it was. I can do... New York. I can do New York, New York, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
So the other day, Obama said a group of folks were shot in a deli. Remember that scandal? But today, the president condemned the brutal and outrageous murders of three Muslim students, and he talked about their religion. See, when it was Jews, they had no religion, no identity. But today, he got worked up. The FBI is investigating the executors. The three victims were students at the University of North Carolina, and the victim's family said they believe the killings were motivated by anti-Muslim sentiment. Now, the shooter was an atheist who hated religion. a well-known atheist who had a religion. And now they've turned it into a hate crime because there's big money in that. See, it's a terrible tragedy. I mean, for three people to get shot over a parking dispute, no question about it. But it's a bigger tragedy to turn this into a hate crime when there are real hate crimes occurring. And that's the real tragedy, to let the twisted message get out there. Because then Obama quotes one of the victims, a Muslim, again. And again, he has a special affinity for certain folks and a special contempt for other folks. This is the Savage Nation. Again, the phone number is 855-407-282. Let's go to the callers, please. Line number two, go ahead, please state your name, station, and topic. Line two.
Hi, John from New Jersey, and my topic is I'm having a problem. I'm a small business owner, and I know your father was an immigrant. My grandfather was an immigrant also, but did not have a business. My father did nothing but work all his life because my grandfather was in World War One, coming from Italy in 1913, and given a rifle when he was given the choice if he wanted to become a citizen, and he immediately took the rifle and fought in the war. And when he came back, he died very
well. Now they come in with rifles across the border. They have them waiting in caches here, a lot of them. Obama's bringing in known gang members through the border. You ask the Border Patrol if I'm making that up. Known gang members are coming into this country, and there are rifles waiting for them in storage units in this country. Ask your Border Patrol agents. So they don't have to be given a rifle to go fight ISIS. They have a rifle waiting for them. But what's your question?
The question is this, and it's completely off that topic, unfortunately. But the question is, I caught an employee, one of my employees.
Hold it. We're going to catch you on the return here. And tell me what you caught the employee doing, and I'll give you the answer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Lawmakers are warning that President Obama's immigration executive actions, meaning illegal actions, will open the door for millions of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, to get tax credits regardless of whether they filed or paid taxes in the past. All they need is a Social Security number, and then they can cash in. The average credit varies based on the number of children, but can be worth over $6,000 a year whether they pay taxes or not. So how can you argue? How can you argue that immigration is good for the economy? Who would buy that argument? Who would buy that? I mean, the numbers don't support that. Here's a better one. This means that an illegal alien with a new Social Security number could get a payment of more than $24,000 for years they were working illegally. You see this? So who's going to pay for this? You, the moron. Wait, then it's even better. Obama amnesty creates loophole for illegal immigrants to vote in elections. No kidding. For years, I've been calling the Department of Motor Vehicles in California, DMV, Department of Mexican Voting. Why? Because I know what motor voter was. So I named it the DMV. I named the Department of Mexican Voting. Here I am, a native-born American citizen. Do you know what I have to do to get a license in this state? Now compare what I have to do to get a license renewed in the state to someone who crawled across the border. Compare the country laying out the welcome mat for them. Go and vote. Here's money. Whatever you want. What kind of country does this? Except a country that has been taken over by an invading army who is now representing the invading army. You think I'm alone on this, don't you? You're wrong. You are wrong. Most people feel the way I do. Only you don't hear it from the Brian, whatever his name. I can never remember his last name. I crossed the name Wilson and Williams. I don't know why. I start the W. I want to say Brian Williams. That's not even his name, is it? It is. In order to finish the last name, I say Brian, and I pause. I think of Robin Williams to finish the last name. No disrespect meant to Robin Williams. But in order to get it right, I have to associate in my head. I can't remember his name because everything he said was fraudulent, so his name itself is fraudulent in my head. I try to block it. Where's the caller who was on? Here we go. Line two, welcome back to the show. So your grandfather, you have, tell us what happened quickly in a nutshell.
My grandfather was an immigrant.
Not your grandfather. You said your business, you had someone steal or what?
Yes, I caught an employee undercharging, I guess, it's a small greasy spoon, seven stools, it's a very small place. And I don't make
Wait, hold on. It's your greasy spoon?
Yes, sir.
And you caught one of your employees undercharging a friend of his?
Undercharging quite a few to the tune of over $100 a day, which I'm finding out.
Oh, in other words, if his buddies came in, he'd underring.
Her friends.
Well, that's how it's done. Go to half the supermarkets, and you can see it all over the country. Everyone's on the arm. You even go into a normal. I see it. So what'd you do?
Well, I limited her hours right now, and I'm deciding what to do. And my question to you was, do you have anything that you can...
Yeah, I'd recommend, number one, that you get a lawyer before you do anything else, because if she's this criminal, she's going to get a lawyer and sue you for something if you fire her. Be very careful.
Right.
Careful. I know it's going to cost you a little money. You get a little... you got to get an employment lawyer on your side in advance of the next act you take.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem. Can you prove she was under-ringing?
Yes, I have it on video tape, yes.
Well, that's not good enough for the American courts today. As you know, they're all stocked with red diaper dopa baby left-wing lawyers who will find you as a business owner the evil, mean capitalist, and they're going to turn her into a poor immigrant. You know what's coming. That's why you're calling me. You're worried, right?
Sure am.
All right. Well, here's my advice to you. As much as I detest them, get one. Everyone should have one. You got to get yourself an employment lawyer. It costs you a couple of grand. It'll save you a big headache downstream. We're living with a fascistic left-wing government. They'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. They'll say that you fired her illegally, that she you have no proof of it. The videotape is not convincing. It's not 100% certain. She wasn't doing it. She was making it up because they overpaid a week before, and she was just doing the right thing for her friend from Guadalupe, and she didn't do anything wrong, and you're a racist, and you owe her the store. You should work there as a janitor, and she should be given the store. Next case. That's your worst fear, isn't it?
It is.
Now, so why is it that an ordinary, hardworking man like you, the son of real immigrants, legitimate immigrants, should live in such fear of a twisted legal system and a rapacious, twisted government that you're afraid won't even take your side? Look how everything's upside down.
I'm thinking about getting rid of the business.
No. Is this your only business?
No, it's not my only business.
So it's one of your businesses, but it's so much of a headache. Is she a cashier? What does she do?
She's a counter girl.
Wait. Wait a minute. It's a luncheonette kind of thing?
Right. Correct.
Does she ring up the register? Is that what you're saying to me?
Yes.
All right. You can't eliminate the position because you're going to need a cashier. So that's one way to get rid of an employee who's a problem. Eliminate the position. That always works. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you can't eliminate the position.
No.
You really have no options here other than to hire an employment lawyer. And does she know you're watching her now?
Oh, yeah. Has she
said to you, I didn't do that? I'm sure she has, right?
Well, I didn't accuse her. That's the first. I know better than that.
No, but wait. Wait a minute. How does she know you're watching her then? For what?
Because I put safeguards on the register where she has to punch in and so forth, and she can only do certain things on the register. And I moved the cameras and made everyone aware.
You know, when I was a kid, there was a restaurant in the Lower East Side of New York. It's still there, called Katz's Delicatessen. And it's a big place now, and it's very busy. But when you came in that place, they gave you like a thing that you had to punch. Every time you, let's say it was a blank ticket, right? And you'd buy a sandwich, the guy, you'd give him the ticket, and he'd punch it. Then you'd go for a pickle, he'd punch that. Go for French fries, he'd punch that. You'd want a soda, he'd punch that. When you checked out, you had to turn in that piece of cardboard that was punched by the various people, right? And then you had to pay for everything that you bought. Nobody exited without giving one of those things, right?
Right.
The problem is you have to have another member giving out that thing, or else they'll rip you off on that. That creates another rung of potential fraud. So that's not the solution, by the way. All right, I can't help you other than get an employment lawyer. There's no other answer. Obama amnesty creates loopholes for illegal immigrants to vote in elections. What'd you expect? Why was he doing it? Because he loves them so much? How else can they get a majority in this country other than through people who are, let us say, here illegally? Who would vote for this party ever again other than foolish people?
or people who are cashing in on various scams or don't know any better. Next caller, please. Line number four, state your name, please. Station and topic, step before Judge Savage. What's on your mind today?
PJ, BAP, Texas. First of all, thank you for your support of Christians, your sensitivity. I don't hear that neocon lawyer talk show host sticking up in the same way.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that.
Well, it's the truth, isn't it?
I don't know. I won't comment on him. He's beneath me. I don't talk about him.
Well, let me change the subject.
I never talk about anyone who sounds like Fredo in The Godfather. I feel bad for them. They should get a vocal cord transplant. What's on your mind?
There's an article today I read by Pat Buchanan that says that, you know, it's funny how Saddam Hussein got all those men to fight against a superior Iranian army for years and years, and they never ran. And then we build up this army, tens of billions of dollars, and they run against these psychos.
Well, hold on. I have the answer for that. But did Pat come up with the answer as to why?
Well, yeah. His answer basically was that secularism alone isn't going to win these people over.
And well, he's looking for the religious angle. I see it a little differently. He may have a point. Certainly, he's very bright, and I enjoy his columns. I think he's an all-around good guy, but let's look back on the Iraq-Iran war, and let's look at who's now ISIS. ISIS is now the Republican Guard and the senior commanders of the Iraqi military. That's who ISIS is. That's where they came from. And so, sure, there are foreign fighters who have joined them, but by and large, these guys are the diehard warriors, while the Iraqi military today is not comprised of the former Republican Guard and of the former Iraqi military. Not at all. They're from a different, let's say, segment of the population. You know, in other words, the crazy warriors who would die for Saddam Hussein in a war against Iran are now willing to die in a war against the world under the banner of ISIS. But they're one and the same. Oh. Did I make my point well enough for you to at least comprehend it, or did I not present it properly?
Led me to doing a little bit more research, but I thought it was very, very interesting, very obvious after it's pointed out. And I do need to.
Well, if you look into it, I figured this out a long time ago. That's why they're so competent. That's why the ISIS army has been able to conduct a blitzkrieg. It's not a ragtag army. These are skilled warrior fighters, maniacs. They'll do anything to anybody, burn a village, kill people, rape, murder, enslave people, sell children. Now, the people doing that are probably the tribesmen that they've enlisted. The lunatic tribesmen have been brought in because they have no morals whatsoever. The tribesmen are throwback animals. They're the ones probably doing most of the horror, as well as the foreign psychopaths who are just mass murderers who belong on death row in their own country. Thanks for the call. How do you know I'm right? Because logic will dictate whether I'm right or wrong. If I had no logic in what I said, then it's not right. Let's see, 855-407-2282, that's the phone number. When I call you, you give out your name, station, topic. Let's go for number 7. Line 7 in the Savage Bakery, state your name, station, and topic. Come on.
Hello.
Yes, name, station, topic, fire.
The guy said 8. My station is WJR, and my name is James Miller, and the topic is climate change, which is a lie. I've studied this for a long time, and CO2 we need more of, not less of. And I really thank you for fighting this argument, which is the
You don't have to have a PhD as I do in order to read science. I mean, but I have a PhD. I can read science. And most legitimate scientists who are not wed to the global warmest industry will agree that it's not man-made global warming. There may be a slight uptick in temperature, but actually is an argument that we're going through a cooling period. And for me, the most convincing single piece of evidence is the Vostok ice core sample. If you look it up, Vostok, I've explained it numerous times on the show, but that would be too hard for the average girl at college to look up. And it would also disturb them. They might have to go take an additional dose of Adderall if they saw that everything they were told was a lie. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that very much. Next up is line number 1 on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
First, I have to apologize. I've lost my voice, so I'll do the best I can. Really quick, Charles, WFTL, Fort Lauderdale in Florida.
Fort Lauderdale, I like that. What's your topic?
My topic is the status of forces agreement. It's very strange to me why they want to rescind completely the initial status of forces agreement that was voted on in 2002.
And replace it with the AUMF, right?
Well, whatever they want to replace it with, I think their goal is to get rid of the first one. And the reason is, once they discredit and remove the first status of forces agreement, there is no legal protection to any military or civilian that participated in those wars.
I see. That's your suspicion. It's to make us soldiers vulnerable, you're saying, in that regard?
You can bring them to trial for crimes against humanity. They're looking to go after Dick Cheney. They'll grab him the first time he leaves the country and take him to The Hague, and they'll yank his new heart transplant out.
Yeah, vicious. Yeah, the academic brigade that's running America are the most vicious people in the country.
Correct.
They're the most vicious people in the United States of America. This oligarchy of college girls running this country, this vicious, pedantic academic brigade, is extremely dangerous. And so I can't comment on the status of forces agreement as opposed to AUMF, but we should turn to an expert on all things to do with anything complicated, and that would be none other than Nancy the Lunatic Pelosi on the AMUF when I come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
That
was good when I was 15 with a crew cut. Doesn't work for me anymore. Let me ask you something. I just got an email from a business owner who said, Savage, you gave good advice to the business owner to not fire the employee without hiring an employment lawyer, but warn him that you are not allowed to video employees without their written permission. I didn't know that. So you better get the illegal heir to agree to it somehow. Then she'll say you coerced her, it's a rough thing now. You know, I got to ask you something. Why is immigration such a contentious subject now? After all, it's a nation of immigrants, and all through the period when there was legal immigration, there was no one arguing we shouldn't have immigrants in the country that I know of. I didn't hear it. When did this start, all of a sudden, an argument against immigration? It started when the drunk Kennedy passed the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, and he lied before Congress, as drunks will do. Ask Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And he said that this Immigration Reform Act will not change the demographics of America. He used the word demographics because people were afraid that the European-American nation, that this nation was predominantly composed of or comprised of, would be seriously altered by the Immigration Act. So the drunk Kennedy said it would not. Well, then we saw that it was, that they closed the door to Europeans and opened the door to Asians, Africans, and Hispanics, while Europeans were excluded from immigration by and large.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I believe America is run by a real American, and you're protected by your government. Feel good again. Make believe it hasn't been penetrated and taken over by a group of anti-American lowlifes of the... You don't know how I rage in the morning on the telephone with people. You have no idea what people are saying about this this traitor in the White House. You have no idea the rage in this nation, unless you feel it yourself. You can't know. People's DNA is shaking now from what this man is getting away with. It's not just that what he's doing is clearly traitorous. It's that he gets away with it without a peep from the Republican Party. Which is why I just played some rock and roll from a time when we knew who the president was. We knew he was a war hero, Eisenhower. I grew up feeling safe in America. I knew that if there were spies, they'd be caught and executed. I knew that my mother could walk to the grocery store without being molested by some bum that didn't belong in the neighborhood to begin with. I knew that if an immigrant came here, he'd have to work, as my grandfather and father did, pay his bills and pay his taxes. Nobody was going to give him a handout. They wouldn't be let into the country if they were sick. They would have been turned away or put into quarantine. I felt safer in those days. So sometimes I go back in time, I must tell you. You got to understand that. It's not that I'm looking to hide in the past. It can be boring if you do that. But without a past, there's no present and no future. So as you well know, in addition to my keen insights into world events and local events, I am very famous for my storytelling. I'm known as a storyteller, and I haven't done enough of them, frankly, lately. And I've said to you before, only by turning off the media-fed stories can we actually hear our own life story. And only by shutting off the stream of images that they feed us can we see what is real. And by speaking and listening, even in a marketplace, if you go shopping, by speaking and listening, even in a supermarket, you could recapture your own life and your own voice, which I've done all my life. I'm very lucky. And so my storytelling is known as stream of consciousness. I could go on and on and on. My brain keeps spinning all night long with stories, dreams. You have no idea. My dreams are so alive, they're like novels in my head. But this goes back in time to Lawrence Stern's novel, The Life and Opinions of Tristram Shandy, Gentleman. Look it up, 1700s, Lawrence Stern, Irish author. And he developed the whole idea of the free association. He'd start out on a walk, and he'd get into an alley, and then he'd get sidetracked with the woman in the alley, and then he'd look up in a window, and he'd go down there. That was free association. And that stream of consciousness, which I trace back to the Bible, by the way. That's what I think stream of consciousness began with, the Bible. And while the enemies of freedom in this country have tried to rewrite my autobiography, I've never let them do it. I have never let the enemies of freedom write my biography. I've never let them dictate the narrative of my life. And so what I want to do for you now is play that song again for 1 second. I'm going to do one little story, The Electric Blue Saddle Stitch Pants, because that's what that one. Yeah, seventh grade. I loved this song when I was a kid. I was like a Speedo myself. I played shortstop. I was the wild kid. I was funny. I always got in mild trouble. I never hurt anybody, really. I didn't tie cats to a car. I didn't rip the wings off flies. I was always a sensitive kid, but I was a funny wild kid, okay? So I remember one day I got these electric blue saddle stitch pants, which we saved for. My mother saved for them for the seventh grade, and they were beautiful. They were like Elvis pants. They had saddle stitching on the side. They were unbelievable. We didn't have a lot of money, but she knew I wanted these pants really bad. And it was the Elvis era, as I say. So my mother saved and saved, and she bought me this pair of electric blue saddle stitch pants. So one day I wore them to school. I thought I was Elvis Presley himself. Well, as time would have it, on the very first day, a bigger, older kid just happened to be wearing the same exact electric blue saddle stitch pants. And naturally, we got into a scuffle. He pushed me down, and my gorgeous Elvis pants were ripped in the knee. I thought it was the end of the world, because these were the most expensive, beautiful pants I had ever had in my life. Remember, I was wearing hand-me-downs. I was wearing dead man's pants before this. So for the rest of the day, I couldn't sit through the classes. Whatever the teacher said, my mind was somewhere else. My heart was pounding. How am I going to tell my mother? How am I going to tell my mother I ripped the pants? So I come home with the pants. I'm hiding the rip under my coat. And then finally I said, Ma, I ripped my pants. We were that way. We're just up front, all of us in my family. Just old Russian realists. Everything was straight up. It was like a Russian black and white movie in my house. There was no, what do they call it today? I'm looking for the right word. Nuance, nuance. Nuance was not spoken in my house. There was no nuance in my house. It was straight up, you know? Ma, I ripped my pants. So she didn't get mad. She said, let me see them. Don't worry about it. I said, so you're not going to tell Dad, are you? She said, no, don't worry about it. So all night long, I couldn't sleep. The next day, the women of the neighborhood were talking it over, sitting around the little table in that little house in Queens, and they were moving the crumbs around on the table with their bread knives, and they were talking. And then they decided what to do. They took the pants to a certain tailor, and the word came back to me, don't worry, Michael, the pants can be woven. Now, I didn't know what the pants can be woven meant. I don't think they do that anymore because clothing has become something different than it was in my day. Today, we throw everything away if it gets a stain on it. But I knew from that moment on that everything would be good, and it was. The pants were weaved, and that's what mother's for, I guess, to fix everything but a broken heart. And on that note, let's have a little rock and roll on the Savage Nation, something to get me back to the horrors of the world. Perhaps we can look about something nice like ISIS or murder, mayhem in the world. Any kind of rock and roll would be fine. All you got to do is hit a button and bail me out of here. I mean, just hit the button already. Where is he, in the toilet? All right, I'll take a call. He must be in the toilet looking for a song. Line number two, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. This is Wayne, and I'm listening to you on the great ABC in WABC in New York.
Did you like my nostalgic story just now or not? You really want me to stick to politics?
I enjoyed that story. I've heard you tell it before, and I enjoy the stories that you do tell.
I have told it before, and it's a good story, but I felt it was appropriate to get our mind off the horrors of the times. So what is your political topic? I know that's what you're calling about.
Well, what I'm calling about is voters' privileges. Not voters' rights, but voters' privileges. And what I would say is that you made a comment about 45 minutes ago that there were certain people that should not be allowed to vote. And I think that we should have the ability to make an informed decision. And if you do not have the mental capacity to do that, if you cannot demonstrate that, I would agree with that completely.
Right. Why shouldn't there be an IQ test, a minimal test of an intelligence level to vote? And if you're on welfare, why should you not lose the right to vote? I don't understand it.
The one thing I would say about the welfare topic is that there are a number of people that are there with beyond their control, and specifically what I'm talking about.
Yes, I agree with you. There are some good people who fall on hard times. However, if you're on hard times, wouldn't you believe a demagogue who says he's going to give you free beans and free bananas and free potatoes and a free Obama phone and you're going to vote for them? And that's how you wind up with a South American banana republic. That's how you wind up with a Venezuela.
I know that there are going to be a number of people that fall into that category, but I know that there's a lot of people that our circumstances have not necessarily dictated.
I didn't say they're bad people because they're on welfare, but I said that if you're on welfare, you're naturally going to go for the demagogue who's going to give you free stuff. It's something to think about. At least we're talking about it. You know it'll never happen in this country. You know what the radical vermin left would say about a thing like that. Why do we let so few people control the whole nation? That's what I'd like to know. How could a few people from NYU and Harvard and Columbia with law degrees control an entire nation? How could 300 million people be intimidated by a pack of verminous left-wing lawyers? How is it possible? How? Just listen to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and you know the answer. She was put on the Supreme Court. Here's a woman who was the chief counsel for the ACLU. She should have been disqualified right off the top. That would be like suggesting somebody from the Ku Klux Klan. Let's say the Ku Klux Klan has a legal department, which I'm sure they do. And the chief counsel for the Ku Klux Klan would be elected, pushed forward to the Supreme Court by one of our conservative senators. Can you imagine the outcry? Well, that is the exact equivalent of Ruth the Drunk Bader Ginsburg. The woman was not qualified because of her initial biases. Why am I eating my heart out? It was done a long time ago by who? Orrin Hatch and the Republicans. And they're doing it to us again with the new attorney general who is a duplicate of the corrupt, evil last attorney general. That's what agitates us. Now, I want to go back to why there's so much dissension about immigration. I said one thing was the demographic change, that Kennedy lied to us when he said there would be no demographic change in his Immigration Reform Act of 1965. One were the changing demographics, and European immigrants were virtually reduced to a trickle, And under Obama, European immigrants are down to near zero, while those from Africa, Muslim Africans, Asians, especially people from Central America, are more than welcome. They're given the welcome mat. So you say, okay, well, that's a racial thing, or any way you want to put it. But that's only one element. There's another element, which is that in the 50s and 60s, let's say, there were no benefits for immigrants. None whatsoever. If they couldn't qualify for supporting themselves, they weren't allowed in the country. And if certainly they wouldn't be put on welfare and be given any kind of check and such like that. So there was no real argument about immigration until we saw this vast population in our country that was not paying its fair share. I'll put it in Obama's lying terms. The vast numbers of millions of illegal immigrants are not paying their fair share, and they are extraordinarily ripping off the system in terms of benefits. That everybody knows this. Every worker knows this. The only people who pretend it doesn't happen would be Bill Gates of Microsoft and Mr. Zuckerface. But everyone who's a working person knows they're ripping the system off. Food stamps, credits, the rebates. And if they weren't ripping the system off, then explain to me how it is they could be sending $25 billion a year home to their home countries. Where they get that overflow from? They're not paying taxes. They're making enough money with welfare and food stamps to live here very nicely compared to the hellhole they came from. And they're sending money back to their relatives in the home country to the tune of about $25 billion a year outflowing through Western Union, etc., to Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, wherever. And where's that money coming from? It's coming from us because they should be paying it in taxes. So these are the things that we, the intelligent people of America, see, which is why there is a debate about immigration. It's not purely based upon a demographic change, although that unto itself should have been discussed. A nation has the right to say to itself, do we primarily want to look like Argentina or Venezuela or Mexico, or do we want to continue to be a European-American nation, predominantly European-American nation? Why? I can't ask the question. What? Who does insult? Who's uncomfortable with that question? Who? Why can't I ask the question? Why should I not be able to say what a good nation this is? Why must we change it into something else? Who says transformation is necessarily a positive thing? Who can assure us that this transformation will not be a disaster for this nation? The answer is no one, because everyone knows it'll be a disaster. Anyone who studied the issue knows it's going to be a horror. All you got to do is look at the sporting events, and you'll see what this country will look like in 10 years, 20 years. You go to a boxing match where there's some great Mexican fighters, and I happen to love Mexican fighters in terms of fighters. They're amazing to watch. They got hearts of lions. They never quit. It's astounding to watch. They're wonderful fighters, but I resent the Mexican flags brought up on the mat. I resent the Mexican flags on the stage. I don't like it. This is America. I'm not living in Tijuana. So why is that happening? Well, because they're transforming America into their own image. So you ask yourself, if they love their country so much, why did they come here? Why did they not come here to be an American? The answer is because nobody forced them to become an American. There was no requirement that they learn what it is to be an American. I have a young man who works for this show, The Savage Nation, who is of Korean descent. His mother walked out of North Korea with the clothing on her back over mountain passes in the snow with no shoes. The woman must be an astounding hero. And she found her way to America. And for her to become a citizen 30, 40 years ago, you know what she had to do? She took a citizenship test. She had to study the Constitution. She had to study the name of our presidents, etc. She is so resentful of these freeloading bums that are being given a gold passport to this nation's heritage without having contributed a nickel of energy, a nickel of sweat, or a nickel in real dollars. So even immigrants who came here legally are pissed off at what Obama is doing. They despise the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party. And that is an absolute truth. It's not just European Americans who resent it. It is all legitimate Americans who resent what they're doing to this country. By the way, including Hispanic Americans, who also, by a large majority, oppose illegal immigration. Check it out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the president is in Silicon Valley or enjoying a meal somewhere, raising money on Pacific Heights, while ISIS has attacked an airbase housing American troops. And the great commander-in-chief apparently has not yet given the order for our air support to wipe them out before this becomes another caisson, one of the most vicious fights of the Vietnam era. I pray to God that the military has the power. I've been reading reports that will get you sick. The micromanagement of virtually every engagement is coming from the girls in the White House. Field-level commanders cannot make a decision to launch an attack without one of the girls from the Obama brigades giving the thumbs up. That's how bad it's gotten. So you say, well, really, it's nothing new. That's what went on during the McNamara era, which is why Vietnam was such a mess. Well, it's gotten worse because these girls have no combat experience. Moreover, they're not in it to win. They're not in it to win whatsoever. And I pray to God that the men at that airbase are able to extricate themselves before there's a wholesale slaughter. I don't want to see them taken prisoner. I don't want to see them dragged through the streets. I don't want to see them beheaded, because if they are, I'll make a personal appeal on this show that will get a million people in the White House, outside the White House, and demand immediate impeachment. I don't do meetings. I don't do hearings. I don't do rallies. If this president doesn't call an air power, and God forbid that airbase is overrun, and we see our men dragged through the streets, I will get out of my cocoon. I will lead as many people as I can to Washington. We will demand immediate impeachment. Period.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're living in extremely troubling times. I mean, we have men training tribal groups in Iraq at an airbase, the Ain al-Assad airbase in the western province of Anbar, which was once pacified, by the way, through great bloodshed of our heroes. It had been pacified, and then Obama gave it back to ISIS. And so now there's a little airbase left there, and we have American forces trying to train some locals to fight ISIS. Tribal fighters are there learning how to fight against Islamic State militants at this military base. Well, today a band of ISIS fighters probed the base to see if they can invade the base. If they invade the base, they're going to take our men prisoner. They'll behead them in public. They'll drag them through the streets, as in Somalia. And what are you going to do then? You going to let Obama get away with that too? He's the commander-in-chief. How many times you heard him say, as commander-in-chief? Well, why doesn't the commander-in-chief order air power now to wipe off the map, the Islamic State vermin? Why does he just he can authorize it today instead of waiting for the base to be overrun. If you look back at the history of Quezon and Vietnam, you'll see a very similar situation. It was an impregnable impregnable artillery base on the border with Cambodia. And it was almost overrun, but the men fought tooth and nail. The Marines there fought tooth and nail. So many died because of incompetence from Washington. So here we have it again. The micromanagement is worse than it was then. I fear there's going to be a major battle, and I'm praying to God that the military threatens the president with insurrection if he doesn't let them unleash air power before they get to the base again. It's that simple. It's commonsensical. What, do you have to be a general to understand what I just said? Who would not agree with me? Tell me who would not agree with me, except someone who wants ISIS to overrun the airbase and take our men prisoner. Now, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the answer to all of these problems. Maybe they want an overrun. Maybe the enemies within the government want our men humiliated. Is that what they want? Okay, I'll go to some callers on any other topic or this topic, whatever. When I call your number, give me your station, your name, and your topic, please. Line number 8, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Savage, this is Jose, WBAP, Fort Worth, Texas. How you doing today?
What's on your mind?
Hey, so I'm a 20-year veteran, United States Air Force, also a naturalized citizen. And I got to tell you, I'm really upset about what's happening with our immigration policy. My parents immigrated from Central America legally, A dad was working as a head mechanic at the Port of Miami, and he worked his tail off to get us there. And for me to join the Air Force, I got a bachelor's degree, working on my master's degree right now. And
fabulous.
Didn't I
say that Hispanic Americans, by a large percentage, oppose illegal immigration? I know they do.
Well, it's the quiet ones. A lot of people just don't want to say nothing, and that's a shame.
You know, I also want to add something here. Did you say your first name was what, please, Jose? Did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. Is your first name Jose? Yeah, Jose, listen. I did a show the other day on the Vikings, but I also included in that long story about the Vikings the warrior peoples with Hispanic names. And I don't think people caught that, what I was saying. I also want to add, did you know that the number of Americans who have won or earned the Medal of Honor, the largest number of them have Hispanic surnames? Did you know that?
I did. As a matter of fact, I do follow that pretty closely. However, it's not really publicized. You know, all you see is once or twice people get the Presidential Medal of Honor or the Purple Heart.
I'm one of the people who keep telling people that, and they're always surprised. They don't know it. And I'm talking about going back to World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. The folks with Hispanic surnames are, I think it's the number one ethnic group for the Medal of Honor.
Can I add one more thing, Savage?
Yes.
So right now, if you look at what's happening with Central America, Mexico, United States, and Canada, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science. Like you said, this is not rocket science. This document can be found in the UN Charter. It can be found in a European Union Charter in regards to what the plans are for this area. And what this immigration policy is actually perpetuating that move to make this a bigger union-type environment, just like the European Union.
Yes, in other words, one gigantic continent of one nation, not under God, but under Maimon. One nation under Maimon, saluting the bureaucrats in Ottawa, Canada, who will run the North American Union. That's what they want, is an NAU. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, I'll give you one answer. If I wanted to live in Honduras, I would have moved there a long time ago. That's the answer to that one. That opens up one line on the Savage Nation. Grab it while you can at 855-407-2822. Let's go to line 9. Go ahead, please. On the Savage Nation, name, station, topic.
Ian, New York, WABC, global warming, the misnomer. It's irrefutable that if you look at commercial fisheries while under sail power, schooners, before even fossil fuels, before America was built up, we had commercial fisheries. Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, these fish can't even be found north of South Carolina anymore because the waters have cooled so much. So it's gotten, in hundreds of years, it still hasn't gotten warmer to where sheepshead have come back to repopulate, or Spanish mackerel, or you can only find them once in a blue moon, one or two of them, during the hottest of summer days. So
you're arguing that there's actually a cooling trend, global cooling.
Absolutely, absolutely. And while under sail power, long before we had commercial vessels that fished with diesel engines, and long before we had so many cows farting methane, it was warmer waters were here. So things are cyclical. And even if humans did cause it, what are we supposed to do? Go back to horse and buggy while China? Well, maybe they'll sell
it. Yeah. Well, Obama, the great negotiator, went to China last month and came back with a great deal like Neville Chamberlain. The Chinese smiled at the moron and made an agreement that in the year 2045 they'll cut back on emissions. And Schmendrick Obama came back saying he'll agree to them in 2016. No wonder the Chinese love him so much.
This is fantastic. So maybe when we need to get satellites up, we can go to Russia. And if we need bullets and guns to fight China one day, maybe they'll manufacture them for us, since we'll have no manufacturing left.
Well, as Karl Marx wrote, when the last capitalist is hung, it will be rope that is manufactured by capitalists that will hang him. Thank you for the call. Common sense does not prevail in the United States of America. Obviously, this man either fishes or is a fisherman. And he knows the realities of warm and cold waters, Gulf streams, and what kind of fish will be found in these waters. But I wouldn't expect that Dianne Feinstein would understand any of this at all. Let's go to the next caller, line number 8. State your name, station, and topic, please. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Hey, this is John in Irvine, California. Station is KFSO 560, the Great Talk.
Go ahead. Topic, please.
Yeah, my father, he's passed away about a year ago, and I just want to tell a story a little about history. He was in Cuba, and I don't know for sure if it was 51 or 50. He was in the Navy, and he just told stories about how he was down there when Batista was in power, and he said him and his buddy supposedly walked the streets, and he said that he ruled that place with an iron fist, with big guys. You know, they would come and they'd walk the streets, and he kept law and order. And he said everybody was happy drinking, and they'd make rum coal, and they'd have lumps, and they'd be out there drinking rum and partying. He says it's just an example. Then they come along and said he was a bad guy and how bad Batista was, and then Castro come into power, and the same media said that this is like the George Washington of Cuba. It just shows what a bunch of...
Well, let me tell you, let's put both statements in context. Batista was a dictator. He was corrupt. However, there was a lot of corruption under Batista, but there was a middle class in Cuba at that time, and the economy was pretty good. When he was thrown out by the communist dictatorship under Fidel Castro, by the way, Castro was not a communist initially. Did you know that? I don't think people know this. When Fidel Castro, the lawyer, who went to law school here, I believe, in America, Fidel Castro went to a Catholic boarding school in the Bronx. People don't know that either. But Castro was a lawyer, and when he seized power and drove Batista, the dictator, out of Cuba, initially his revolutionaries did not want to be communists. That was not their initial modus operandi. They weren't seeking a communist revolution. They were seeking an equitable revolution in Cuba, so far as I know the history of the area. And I've studied it quite extensively because I grew up on Cuban music, and that drew me into Cuban culture. Right. Well, I may as well play it. It's Friday. All right, so they didn't seek a Cuban communist revolution. It was soon after a seizure of power that Castro showed his true hand, and he declared it to be a Soviet-style communist nation, at which point some of his fellow revolutionaries who had risked their lives to make him the king of Cuba opposed him. They were shot. They were shot or they were imprisoned for life in Cuba as a result of them not wanting that nation of theirs to become a communist prison camp. So that's an important side note to this whole Cuba story that apparently is lost on the businessmen who were dying to open up the port of Cuba to cruise ships and things like that. They're killing each other right now to bring the ships into Cuba and start trade with Cuba. Meanwhile, the Castro brothers have not released one prisoner, so far as I could tell, from their hell holes. Maybe one out of the many who are held. And other than this one man who was released that we all saw, and I'm glad he's out of prison. But the fact of the matter is, it's still a dictatorial nightmare for most Cuban people. Let's go to line number 3. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. Long-time listener, David.
Yes, sir. What station are you on?
WBAP, Fort Worth.
Topic, please.
Yes. You sound a lot like Jackie Mason, by the way. Listen,
That's sort of a backhanded slap, but thank you.
A few weeks ago, you posed an interesting question to some of your listeners. How these vermin liberal, how do they shave in the morning without cutting their vile throats? It's an easy answer. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's cream on cream. Have a good day, Dr. Savage.
Okay. I don't know whether this is an ad. I don't know what that was. I don't know whether it was a serious call. I mean, he just attacked one of my advertisers and me all in one. That was a double. That was a double. How do you get away with that? Hey, by the way, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. You made it, guys. And what, you got her nothing? You know that you have to get her something. What are you going to do, go to a flower stand and get her some wilted roses and pay $59? And you know she wants them. You know she loves them. I never met a woman in my life who doesn't love flowers. They do. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that is with women and flowers, but everybody loves flowers. Even people who didn't talk to me suddenly talk to me if I send flowers. It's strange relatives who don't like me. They thank me for flowers. The fact is that this amazing high-quality red roses deal has been extended. If you get one dozen red roses, with a free glass vase for $29.99, you're doing yourself a great favor. Or you want to impress her, really? Go upgrade to 24 red roses, elegant ruby vase for just $19.99 more. You go to proflowers.com, you use my code SAVAGE. It's that simple, it's quick, it's easy. And by the way, it's tomorrow. But you know what? It's ProFlowers to the rescue because they're guaranteeing you Valentine's Day delivery if you do it now. And you're not going to beat the prices on a roadside. They're going to be sold out, they're going to be wilted, they're going to be garbage. What you do is, even if you have Valentine's Day plans, you're going to have them delivered tomorrow. It's a must. What I love about them is that they last for 7 days or you get your money back. It's that simple. And there's only one way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. You go to proflowers.com, you click on the blue mic in the top right, and you type in my name, Savage. That's proflowers.com. You click on the mic, and if you like this show, you click Savage. Look, you can get this offer from other talk show hosts, but if you love me, you're going to order it through proflowers.com and click my code Savage, or I'll be really mad at you. This offer has been extended to Friday or when supplies run out. Order today, proflowers.com, click Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
The audience, for the most part, is awake because they're bobbing up and down all the time. And we sit there, stone-faced, the sober judges, but we're not... At least I wasn't 100% sober.
A woman should be arrested for crimes against the country for what she's done to this nation. And look how humorous she is, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Look at that. Here's a breaking news story on the Savage Nation. Embattled Oregon governor announces resignation amid ethics scandal. And you know what the ethics scandal is about from this good liberal? You got it. Corruption. But you didn't get the whole story. It's being hidden. He was steering fake solar contracts to his girlfriend to enrich himself and her. Oregon Democratic Governor John Kitzhaber says he's resigning effective next Wednesday amid allegations his fiancée used a relationship with him to enrich herself. But you have to read into it to understand it was about fake green contracts along the lines of San Francisco, which runs off it. Of course, nobody would resign here because there's no newspaper and no U.S. attorney. But even liberal Oregon had had enough with this corruption. And they dumped him. And they're getting rid of him over the fake green contracts. If you looked into the fake steerage of contracts here in San Francisco, your hair would stand up. Look at the family connections. Your hair would stand up. Look at the names of the companies and look at the family names on them. Your hair would stand up. Kitzhaber had hired prominent Portland criminal defense attorney Janet Hoffman amid the investigations and included another reportedly launched by the FBI. What's the difference? Who cares about all of it? They finally got him, but it's a liberal stepping down for a fake green energy contract, steering money to his girlfriend. You hear this? To his fiance. This is chicken feet compared to what goes on in San Francisco. So why does the FBI treat San Francisco like a cordon sanitaire? What, are they afraid to come into the city and do an investigation? You mean San Francisco is a cordon sanitaire they can't enter? It's like a district in Munich? A district of immigrants that are not allowed to look into?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation, which is largely caller-based. Unless I veer off into another monologue or two. There are no open lines. People wait for this hour. The headline is plain and simple. See it on the Drudge Report. He said it best. Green scheme brings down Gov. He should have added one other set of initials, Dem Gov. Green scheme brings down DemGov, because it wasn't a RepubGov. It was another phony Democrat liar who got to where he is by lying about global warming. And, you know, the Pied Piper of the left can be found in Oregon. We have a Pied Piper of the left in California. Every day, the big lie, global warming, this, that, and that, and that, yeah. Meanwhile, they're scamming billions of dollars, and this one got caught. This one got caught steering contracts to a fiancé. It got so bad that even the rotten, stinking state of Portland had said enough is enough. That's how bad it was. That's because they have one newspaper where they'd call for his resignation. We don't even have that one newspaper. If in this state, God forbid, a Democrat politician, a senator, a congresswoman, a governor was caught in the most, let's say, most disgusting crime, this newspaper would support that person. They would never call for the resignation because there is no newspaper. But it happened there. So now you know what the subtext is. Oh, wow, the woman taking his place is a bisexual. So right away we're being feasted on how she uses her body. Like, I give a damn. What do I care who she sleeps with? What the hell does that have to do with anything? Gay community is thrilling. Is thrilled that the attorney general is now the governor. She's bisexual. I don't give a damn what she is. What do I care what her sexuality is? Why is that put in my face every day? I have to hear that she's a bisexual. Why do I care what she does with her body? Why rub my face in it? Why is it that the gay community wants you to know everything about their sexuality? Does a heterosexual go out of his way to tell you every minute, every day, that this is what they do with their body? Who gives a damn? But that's the subtext already. Celebration. All of the rainbow communities are dancing in the streets while heads are being cut off by ISIS. They're dancing in the street. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. Okay, 85. I shouldn't give the number out. Let's just take some calls. When I call your number, please give us your name, your station, and your topic. Let's do it that way, okay? Line number two, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name is Kitty, and I'm calling from the Washington, D.C. area, which is WMAL.
And your topic is?
Illegal immigration. And I know that you know, and I hope many of your listeners know, that in order to vote, you have to be a legal citizen. Now, I heard some...
No, I think you got it wrong. In order to vote under the new Obama administration, you have to be an illegal citizen.
Well, I heard there might be a loophole about...
Of course there's a loophole. What do you mean? That's something new? That Obama's flooding America with 30 million illegal aliens so they wouldn't vote? What do you think they're doing it for?
Well, has this passed?
Why do you think I called the California Department of Motor Vehicles, the Department of Mexican Voting, for 10 years now? What, do you think I'm blind to what it means when you give them a driver's license that they're not entitled to and they wind up using it to go vote? How do you think Pelosi, Feinstein, Boxer, Jerry Brown, how do you think they have their grip on this state? Do you think the average taxpayer wants, loves their policy so much?
No, but is this a national thing?
Yes, it's a national thing, federal elections. They're going to let them use their driver's licenses. They're going to use them to vote. That's right. This is how Obama's guaranteeing 100 years of despotism in the United States of America. That's right. That alone should get him impeached. But, oh, no, the Republicans are interested only in the Keystone XL pipeline. That's all. They paid off the oil industry, and they did their job. Now they can rest for the next 2 years. They got elected because people like me said, hold your nose and vote for them. And they paid off their lobby and lobbyists. They paid off the people who paid their way. And now they can relax for 2 years, go on a junket somewhere. Okay, things are bad all over, and they're only going to get worse. They're only going to get worse. That's all. When you have no press, and you have no press looking into what this administration does, it's only going to get worse. Here you have a selfie president who's like a goofball. All he does is raise money and attack conservatives. That's his whole job. Raise money and attack conservatives. And he ignores, Boko Haram. He ignores ISIS, basically. Nothing. Our troops are surrounded at a base in northern Iraq. And he's raising money here in San Francisco. Line number seven, go ahead, please. Give us your name, your station, and your topic.
Hi, Savage. My name is Bill. I'm calling from WFNC, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, home of the Special Operations Forces. And I want to talk about our coward in chief who...
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead and make our day.
Yeah.
Those men are surrounded up there in northern Iraq. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're right. I read about it earlier today, and I see it coming. I see our guys getting run over, having to surrender. The military can't do what their job is, and that is to fight and win wars.
Yes, but if this commander-in-chief, this incompetent traitor, does not call in air power and lets those men get taken captive, then he is responsible for it, and he needs to be called out on it if that happens, God forbid.
Absolutely. And if it does happen, and you're going to call him out, like you said, march on Washington, demand impeachment, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to bring my 12-year-old. I'm going to bring my family. We're all going to be there with you because this is ridiculous.
Well, I will. I will get out of my comfort zone. You know, I don't do public events. I don't do speeches, unlike others in the business who are hungry for dollars. I don't do it. I keep to myself. I feel the show is demanding enough to do it right. And I'm not looking to cash in on every dollar that's out there, but I'll tell you this. I'm not doing it to grandstand. If he does not call in air power as commander-in-chief and he permits that base to be overrun and our men to be taken captive or killed, then he is responsible for that. He owns it, and he must be impeached for that.
And it's sad that it's going to have to come to that point because we've already had our own citizens murdered over there, and there's no outrage.
Oh, they don't mean much to him. That girl who was beheaded by those vermin, you know, that was window dressing. The next day ran off for a golf game. That's all. Gave a big speech and ran off to the golf game. Just, I guess, some zealots came in, killed some girl folks out there in Iraq. Well, God bless you. I hope that if we do have this big rally, and I hope it doesn't come to that, that we get an awful lot of servicemen in uniform coming out there and really showing their colors, because this country can only take so much. It cannot take the heartbreak of that base being overrun in northern Iraq. We cannot have men being dragged through the streets by these subhuman throwbacks. It can't be allowed to happen. And I'd like to know why the Air Force is not flying right now and knocking ISIS out before they gain a further foothold. And I'll give you the answer. It's quite simple. Take a look at the incompetent woman Obama put in charge of the U.S. Air Force. Go take a look at what he's done to deball our military. He put a woman who's never flown an airplane in as Secretary of the Air Force. Now, what do you expect to happen? And take a look who the new defense secretary is. It's more of the same, Quislings knuckling under to this guy. They're not going to make any independent decisions. And we all know that Obama himself has questionable loyalties. You say, oh, what do you mean, how do we know that? Take a look at how he's behaving. He has turned our allies into enemies, and our enemies have suddenly become our friends. I've warned you about this with book after book after book. I'm only one man. I'm only one man with a reasonable intelligence who reads widely, and I'm telling you that those statements are based upon carefully chosen words. They're not made up for effect just to shock you. Next caller on line number 4, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. John, Yonkers, New York, WABC. Topic, Al Sharpton, as a retired New York City cop, I've witnessed the damage that Obama's henchman Al Sharpton has done.
That's right. Obama's henchman Al Sharpton. Now, any president who lets a street rat like that in and out of the White House 30 times should be questioned, shouldn't he?
Absolutely. I've witnessed, if you go to richard@nypdclemency.org, you'll see how he helped send an innocent New York City cop to prison for saving his father's life from a bat wheel.
I understand. You have that one case you keep calling about. I thank you very much for calling the program. But Al Sharpton falsely accused Detective Pagonis of having raped Tawana Brawley and of having smeared her with feces. It cost the detective a great deal of time and money, and he was eventually exonerated. And Al Sharpton never went to jail for that. And instead, he went to the White House for that. And you know, birds of a feather flock together. That's about all I could say on this. Phone number here is 855-407-282. Let's go to the next caller, line number 1. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Richard from Washington, D.C. area, and I listen on WMAL.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about what's happened with class hatred, and I feel guilty talking about that with so many other critical things going on, but all of it is just all surrounding this man who is trying so hard to bring us down.
That's correct. That's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. because I have not seen this nation more polarized and divided in my entire life, and I've been around quite a while, and I will tell you that that's his entire MO, which is to divide and conquer. Turn black against white against black, Hispanic against white against Asian against white, turn gay against straight, turn woman against man against woman, turn the elderly against the young and the young against the elderly. Keep them all fighting with each other while you laugh all the way to the golf course. Does that say it all?
Someone who has been successful in life. And I was in town last week, and, you know, my big sin, I've gone from being a respected member of the community to suddenly I'm a pariah at the age of...
Wait, where are you a pariah? What do you mean? You feel like a pariah, or you feel that Obama's made you into a pariah?
Made me into a pariah.
I'm not following you. Why do you call yourself a pariah? You mean according to Obama's definition of a successful man?
You know, what I am is I'm a 64-year-old heterosexual white male.
And that's Obama's natural enemy.
Yes.
You make up the entire constellation of all of the enemy points of the Obama administration.
Yes, and I had an incident last week where somebody hit my car on purpose. It was a work zone. Everybody was moving from two lanes into one, and everybody was taking a turn. And it was my turn to pull in. I started to pull in, and a pickup truck pulled right up against my window, but with the real big tires. And I just thought, great, what am I going to do now? I mean, I could practically smell his tires through a closed window. And then he hit the car and pushed it off the road, continued going, and knocked the mirror off. And then,
I assume he was not a white heterosexual Christian driver.
I think he was. He was middle-aged white guy.
So where then is that? Where then are you coming from? Then why are you saying it's based on racial problems?
He obviously thinks I'm the idle rich, because
You're saying is the class warfare issue was what motivated him to say go to hell to you.
Yeah, not the
racial enmity that this president has stirred up, but the class warfare enmity that the Democrat Party is well known for. That's what you're suggesting, correct?
That's right. And
all right. Well, I hear you. I can't do anything about it. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing I can do about poor white trash who hates someone who has a better car, better shoes, and a nicer girlfriend. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Listen to what the President of the United States just did. He's raising money right now in San Francisco on Russian Hill with billionaires, talking about the poor and this and that, and income distribution. Obama's executive actions, the criminal act of amnesty for illegal immigrants, means that they can get big, big cash payouts even if they paid no income taxes. Listen to this. It came out in a hearing. And it's even worse than that. The new plan, the new illegal plan of his executive actions would allow relatives of illegal immigrants to enter the U.S. Chain migration will result. I told you this as well. Lawmakers are warning that Obama's immigration executive actions could open the door to millions of illegal immigrants to qualify for hefty tax credits. Whether they filed or paid taxes in the past, all they need is Obama's new Social Security number. Up to 4 million of them will get Social Security numbers and work permits. And after some evasions, IRS liar John Koskinen, remember that character, told Congress this week that this would make them eligible for what's known as the Earned Income Tax Credit, okay? And what he said is, if you get a Social Security number, you can then file for this year if you're working, and if you earn income in the 3 years before that and filed, you'll be eligible. You hear this? Then he goes on in the hearing, he says, they would be likely able to get that tax credit even if they hadn't filed for 3 years. According to those who have studied this, it will add up to billions of dollars over the next decade. And what this earned income tax credit is, it's known as a refundable tax credit that was intended originally for working people who have low to moderate incomes. But these illegal aliens will be qualified for them, and that can be worth up to $6,000 a year. Did you hear this? These are not tax refunds, by the way, but free cash payments from the U.S. Treasury to low-income illegal aliens who owe no taxes. This is what he just did. It's a dramatic cash transfer from lawful citizens to unlawful residents, required by the president's illegal imperial action. How in the world can this country survive with a thing like this? How could the Republicans permit this to go on? Why don't they fight him on this tooth and nail? Why? Because you're going to pay for the illegal immigrants whether you want to or not, unless the Republicans go to the mattresses with the illegitimate communist, socialist, whatever you want to call it, illegitimate Marxist, socialist, what do you want to, what's the difference of calling what you want? Do you think it's fair? Let's say you're a good diehard Democrat. Do you think it's fair that an illegal alien with a new Social Security number can get a payment of more than $24,000 in cash for years they were working here illegally? Is that what you want to happen? Is that why you elected Dianne Feinstein? Is that why you put Barbara Boxer in office over and over again? Is that why you let that drunk Ruth Bader Ginsburg babble on in the Supreme Court all these years? Well, if it is, then you're crazier than I thought when I wrote liberalism as a mental disorder. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I can do many voices. I can do a regular broadcaster voice like Brian Williams. And I can never do him. That was so patently what it was. I can do New York. I can do New York, New York, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So the other day, Obama said a group of folks were shot in Adela. Remember that scandal? But today, the president condemned the brutal and outrageous murders of three Muslim students. And he talked about their religion. See, when it was Jews, they had no religion, no identity. But today, he got worked up. The FBI is investigating the executors. The three victims were students at the University of North Carolina, and the victim's family said they believe the killings were motivated by anti-Muslim sentiment. Now, the shooter was an atheist who hated religion, a well-known atheist who hated religion. And now they've turned it into a hate crime because there's big money in that. See, it's a terrible tragedy. I mean, for three people to get shot over a parking dispute, no question about it. But it's a bigger tragedy to turn this into a hate crime when there are real hate crimes occurring. And that's the real tragedy. To let the twisted message get out there. Because then Obama quotes one of the victims, a Muslim, again. And again, he has a special affinity for certain folks and a special contempt for other folks. There are other stories. Here's one that should entertain you. It's Too Cold to Protest Global Warming at Yale by Michael Bastach of the Daily Caller. Yale anti-fossil fuel campaigners have indefinitely postponed a protest that was set for this weekend due to, quote, unfavorable weather conditions and other logistical issues. Fossil Free Yale, a group pushing the university to divest itself from fossil fuels, told the Yale Daily News that frigid, snowy weather set for this weekend will mean their global warming protest will have to be postponed. Listen to what these psychos at Yale said. Quote, the unfavorable weather conditions and other logistical issues, including some cancellations from speakers and performance groups, would mean they would not be able to rally on Global Divestment Day, a day where environmental groups urge institutions like Yale to divest from fossil fuels like coal, natural gas, and oil. You see, the weather in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale is located, stands at minus 9 degrees Fahrenheit with a wind chill factor thrown in. Tomorrow, Saturday, is expected to have weather in the low 30s with snow, and Sunday will be 20 degrees with snow and rain, and so the delicate boys and girls in the fossil-free Yale movement want to stay home and smoke their doobies and, I guess, watch television or what. I don't know what they do, but they're not going to protest in a snowstorm about global warming, are they? The Yale Daily reports that this organization, quote, had organized a series of events to rally support for its cause, including performances from student groups. Why are they so good at performances?
How come they're not good at math or science or chemistry? But the Yale groups, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Berkeley, you know, all of the lower institutions of lower living, they don't excel in anything except performance groups now and protesting and divesting from Israel and fossil fuels. But apparently the guest speakers can't get in the storm, and a collaborative art installation won't be installed in the cold because it'll, I guess, be too cold for the artiste to use his hands in the cold. So that's that. It's too cold to protest global warming at Yale. Meanwhile, the global warming scam marches on. We're going to play something interesting for you, which is my imaginary meeting between Al Gore and Bernie Madoff to come up with the global warming scam. Listen to this. Now we go to the biggest lie of them all. And that is the lie about global warming, which has been debunked by now. By all rational scientists have debunked this concept of global warming. They know it's the greatest lie in science history and also the greatest scam in the history of the world. The greatest. This is like if Madoff worked for Obama. Let's go back. If Madoff had been hired by Al Gore, and Al Gore and him had a little meeting somewhere in a deli, just a bunch of folks in a deli in New York, let's say the stage deli. Let's say Madoff sat down, he had a nice corned beef and pickle with Al Gore, who had a pastrami and pickle. And Al Gore said, look, we need to come up with something to market now to get the idiots to kick up a couple of trillion dollars on something. What could you come up with, Madoff? I don't know. What can they do here? Let's see. I'm good on the Ponzi scheme. I don't know. What are you talking here, Al? And they're munching on a pastrami. I don't know. Something to do with climate. Something to do with the weather. What could you do with that, Madoff? I don't know. Weather. Wait a minute. Weather. Let me think about it. So I'll get back to you on that. So he comes back to him a few days. He says, I've got it. I figured it out. I was in a Schwitz last week with some of my sons and my friends, and we figured it out. Tell them that the world's coming to an end unless we rein in industry, that we cut back on, I don't know, carbon dioxide. I know it from seltzer. We just had some in the deli. I don't know. Make it up. Carbon dioxide is going to destroy the world. All right. It's in a seltzer bottle. You're going to say, Al, that it's the world's coming to an end unless we rein in carbon dioxide. What do you mean the world's coming to an end? That's really good, Madoff. What do you mean? You know, tell them, I don't know, that the ice is going to melt. Tell them everything's going to be flooded. I don't know. Build on it. The way I did with my Ponzi scheme. Let's see. Polar bears. Get a shot of a nice white polar bear on an ice floating around. Use emotion. Emotion. Fear. That's good, Madoff. So that's how they came up with the whole global warming scam. Everyone knows that with an IQ above 92. It's good. I did that for you on the Natch on Wednesday, and I figured I'd replay it today since we learned that it's too cold to protest global warming at Yale. It's wonderful having an imagination, isn't it? And you can look right through the president who has no clothes. The class Clay Feeden has no clothes. Meanwhile, ISIS militants infiltrated the Iraqi base, hosting U.S. Marines wearing Iraqi uniforms. The Al-Assad base has been infiltrated as a probe, and our troops are now surrounded by ISIS, and the goofball president is raising money in San Francisco. Here's another question. Where are the anti-population growth people as Obama floods America with millions of illegal aliens? Anyone think about that? Where are the anti-population growth, ZPG, abortion liars? Where are those liberals who told us that the U.S. was overcrowded? It was not sustainable. That white people should have no children, because the only ones who listened to them, by the way, were white college students. And so the liberal white girls and boys were raised on the mother's milk of not having families and not having babies. They were said, don't marry, don't have children, the earth can't carry them. Meanwhile, our nation is being flooded with millions upon millions of non-Europeans with many children. And strangely, we no longer hear about the overpopulation story from the Obama abortionists and ZPG anti-Euros. Do you agree with that? Meanwhile, the Iraqi air base is surrounded by Islamofascists in an army around them. They're surrounded. The ISIS raid on the Iraqi base that occurred last night is said now to be a probe to test U.S. troops' response. We have U.S. troops training Iraqis. They're now surrounded, and the goofball president is taking selfies of himself in Silicon Valley. Alfred E. Newman, goofball, taking selfies. They could send an air power right now and wipe ISIS off the map. I fear another Kaysan is about to happen owing to the selfie president. Now look up Kaysan, you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't know how long the Marines will have to hold out until air power comes in to save them, but as sure as I'm sitting here, this could be done before they're attacked, before the base is overrun, before the Islamo-fascists are able to cut through the perimeter wire and invade the base and start butchering. It could be done now. So why is Obama not granting the order to destroy ISIS before they invade the base in Iraq? Why? I don't know. He's busy in Silicon Valley lecturing the morons around Silicon Valley into telling them why it's good that the government wants to take control of the Internet and tell them how to run their businesses. Because as you well know, government always runs businesses better than the private sector. Meanwhile, Obama amnesty will open the door for millions of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, to get tax credits regardless of whether they filed or paid taxes in the past. All they need is a Social Security number, and then they can cash in. The average credit varies based on the number of children, but can be worth over $6,000 a year whether they paid taxes or not. So how can you argue? How can you argue that immigration is good for the economy? Who would buy that argument? Who would buy that? I mean, the numbers don't support that. Here's a better one. This means that an illegal alien with a new Social Security number could get a payment of more than $24,000 for years they were working illegally. You see this? So who's going to pay for this? You, the moron. Wait, then it's even better. Obama amnesty creates loophole for illegal immigrants to vote in elections. No kidding. For years, I've been calling the Department of Motor Vehicles in California, DMV, Department of Mexican Voting. Why? Because I know what motor voter was. So I named it the DMV. I named the Department of Mexican Voting. Here I am, a native-born American citizen. Do you know what I have to do to get a license in this state? Now compare what I have to do to get a license renewed in this state to someone who crawled across the border. Compare the country laying out the welcome mat for them. Go and vote. Here's money. Whatever you want. What kind of country does this? Except the country that has been taken over by an invading army who is now representing the invading army. You think I'm alone on this, don't you? You're wrong. You are wrong. Most people feel the way I do, only you don't hear it from the Brian, whatever his name. I can never remember his last name. I crossed the name Wilson and Williams. I don't know why. I start the W. I want to say Brian Williams. That's not even his name, is it? It is. In order to finish the last name, I say Brian, and I pause. I think of Robin Williams to finish the last name. No disrespect meant to Robin Williams. But in order to get it right, I have to associate in my head. I can't remember his name because everything he said was fraudulent, so his name itself is fraudulent in my head. I try to block it. Meanwhile, the lunatic, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who should never have been permitted to approach the Supreme Court, let alone rule it with an iron heel these many years, because she was the former chief counsel for the ACLU. She should have been disqualified the same way the new attorney general pick should be disqualified because she's Eric Holder in a skirt. Says I wasn't 100% sober during the speech. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Does anyone, raise your hand if you remember Bobby Darin. No, no one remembers him. He had a style, a certain style. How did he go? What was it? He wasn't in a livery job. You hear about this Bob Simon with the car? I saw the pictures, this news guy. The town car got cut in half. I used to think town cars were built well. What are they made out of, aluminum now or what? Yeah, I don't think a town car years ago would have broken up like that. But look at the driver, no less. License suspended 9 times. He failed at a suicide attempt. He jumped out of a window. Only one of he had a dead arm from the jump. But he was fined for a livery driver in New York. His name was Muhammad. No, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. They're covering that one up. You're not supposed to say Muhammad. The driver's name was... His name was not Timothy McVeigh. Say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It could be anybody. I didn't say. I'm just saying. Bob Simons, livery man. License suspended 9 times. He failed a suicide attempt, jumped out of a window, and he had a dead arm, and that was driving erratically. And he hit the gas, they say, instead of the brake. That's all. His name was... You can't mention the... His name was John Smith. You'd know it already. If he had a yarmulke, he'd have a religion. No, if he had a yarmulke, it would have been not just some folk was driving it. It would have been a Jewish person was driving it with a name, Moshe Rabinovitz. But because his name is... You can't say the name. You're not, you know, Robert, you can't say... You can't say how... Crazy, you look like, I read the news, you can get zappy from it. You can get nuts. What did you think of Bob Simon? He was like one of the ones that was neutral, like you liked him. He was like a skinny guy from the Bronx. He did the right, I mean, he didn't lie, this one. He was like a real up reporter. Not like the pretty boys, because this, you know, he was a regular guy, like, kind of like skinny, hawkish. No, he was riding in the back without a seatbelt. Who rides in the back of a livery car with a seatbelt on? I don't. Like, if you're a passenger in a family's four-door car, do you sit? I don't put a seatbelt on. I never do. So it's not his fault. It's the one-arm job. It's one-arm Muhammad that did it. I'm sorry. What do you call that? There's a sense of humor based upon a dark sense of humor. What is it called? A gallows sense of humor. I try to laugh at some tragic situations. What are you going to do about it? Look at this freak. Bruce Jenner blames fatal accident on a driver who was killed. He banged into a car, knocked her across the lane, and he's blaming a dead woman. You hear? The tring. Again, is another thing I can't say. Bruce Jenner, the tring. I'm not allowed to say he was a tring of any kind. His name is Bruce and Jenner. You figure it's a man. Bruce Jenner, the tring. Blames fatal accident on driver who was killed. You can't blame it on the hormones he was taking it. You can't blame it on the crazy psychiatrist in LA who were telling him, oh yes, Bruce, yes, act out your innermost feelings. If you've always wanted to be a 70-year-old granny tranny, go for it, Bruce. Yes, you still have time, Bruce. If you've always wanted to be a granny tranny, do it now. Now is the time to just do it, Bruce. Yes. No, don't blame it on them. Don't blame it on the surgeons. Don't blame it who are telling him it's normal. Don't blame it on the shrinks. Don't blame it on the medication. Blame it on the poor woman he actually killed. That's America today. What else is in the news? 92-year-old Norman Lear attributes longevity to humor. I would attribute his longevity to hatred. His hatred of America, his animus toward the country and his animus towards the flag. His animus towards things good and normal about America is what I would attribute his longevity to. Hatred's kept him alive all these years. That's all. I hope it works for you. Well, that's it for the Friday show in the Savage Nation. I may or may not be going to L.A. I may or may not be here on Monday. Probably yes, probably no. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm L.A. bound.
Savage.